Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Ready to talk about John chapter 10 again?
We are.
I was on a roll when the show ended last time.
I know.
That always happens, though. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, such is life.
Should we reread the passage?
Sure, we can do it.
We talked about up to about verse 7, but
yeah,
that was a week ago already.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you reread it?
Okay. John 10, verse 1. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice, but they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So in verse 6, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees. They didn't understand what he was saying. So in verse 7, he explains it again, and with a little more direct emphasis, because after all, you know, Jesus is always ready to explain what he's talking about, mm-hmm. and the fact that he has authority. So he says, he's the gate. He's the good shepherd. He has the authority. He's the only way. The only way to salvation is through this door, through this gate. He is the connection between the sheep, you know, but between the people and God. He is the only connection. He has come to do something good for the sheep. Yeah. He's the quote way into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he's the only way. Those that pretend to be shepherds are false shepherds. Mm-hmm. And the sheep shouldn't be listening to them.
Right.
So the Pharisees were included in this.
Right.
Because they tried to turn people away from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always recommend to people, read Matthew 23, and one of my favorite lines in that is that he says to the Pharisees, not only do you not get into the kingdom, but you prevent others from getting into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is really a stinging rebuke against what they were doing. And, you know, the Pharisees certainly didn't want to be his disciples and didn't want other people becoming his disciples. And what he's telling them is he's the only one who has authority to be the good shepherd, capital T, capital G, capital S, the good shepherd, because he's come to give the sheep life and to give it abundantly.
Yeah.
And he tells them directly, you know, in verse 9 there, the Greek means through me is the only way you can come in, through me. There's not 58 different ways you can go if you're the sheep. You have to come through me. So this is a very clear teaching that the only way to the Father is through him.
Yeah.
The only way into the new covenant is through him.
And how many times do we find that people want to make their own way?
Yes.
They want to try and find a different way to get to heaven.
Yes.
And Jesus is giving them the way.
Yes.
He is the way.
He is the way.
And he says that here, but yet we find how many times where people just want to, they want to reject the word of God. They want to reject the words of Jesus, mm-hmm. who is life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they trade it for certain death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The false teachers, the false shepherds are enemies of the sheep. They're actually in league with the wolves.
Yeah.
Now, they may not know that they're false teachers. The Pharisees didn't know they were false teachers. The Pharisees thought they were doing all the stuff. I mean, they were doing all the stuff.
Right.
You can put on any of the Christian networks and watch for a while, and you can hear some really great preachers, and you can hear some really terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people with terrible stuff have shows, and they have big followings.
They do.
And, you know, if you want to get 30,000 people into your church, just tell them that God wants them to be rich and forget about all this cross and struggling stuff and pruning and all that other stuff. You know, all you have to do is not only ask them for the Mercedes, but tell them what color you want and what kind of interior you want.
Leather seats would be nice.
Yeah, leather seats would be nice. And, people say, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that's a shepherd who's saying cool stuff. Yeah. I like that shepherd.
Tickles their ears.
Tickles their ears.
Yeah.
They gather teachers around them, tell them what their itching ears want to hear. But, you know, Jesus comes to bring abundant life because he's the way to salvation. He's not talking about abundant life in terms of your job or your car or your house or what kind of bonus you're going to get at the end of the year.
Right.
I mean, those things can happen. God can bless you with things.
Mm-hmm.
But the abundant life is to have eternal life with him.
Yeah.
He comes to bring life to the sheep. And it's so abundant and so overwhelming that it's more than we can expect.
Yeah.
I mean, the law of Moses didn't promise you were going to have an awesome eternity.
Right.
The law of Moses promised, here's what you got to do so that God doesn't get mad at you.
Right.
This is what he expects of you, so try to do it.
Yeah.
But salvation is, we have more than we could even imagine in eternal life. Even though all of that was forfeited by the fall and put in focus by the law, but now through the Savior, we have abundant life like we can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can never outdo God in generosity.
Yes.
And the love that God has for you is infinite. What he has planned for you is far more than what we can even imagine.
Mm.
And a lot of times, you know, we might see a path and we think, oh yeah, that's what I really want to do that. I really want to do that. And then we set our hearts and our minds on it. And we become enslaved to that idea. And if God is really, if we're really being docile to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to take us by the hand and lead us, we're going to surrender to those things. We're going to surrender those things to what God's will is for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't surrender to God's will, then we can be led astray by our own desires and the desires of our own heart. Not that God doesn't place God can't place his desires in my heart for me, but there needs to be a certain amount of humility to go with that, that I can honestly go before God and say, Lord, I want for myself what you want for me. So I abandon my heart to you, you know, guide me and lead me in your truth and just show me the way because I want to follow you. And if that's really a sincere prayer, God's going to direct you in a way where you're going to come to the place where he wants you. You might not understand everything as it's happening, but you know, a humble and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not spurn, as Psalm 51 says,
yeah.
You know, and David knew about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he didn't have a humble and contrite heart.
No, he sure didn't. He didn't go through a lot of pruning, too.
Yeah. Pruning. Let's talk about pruning for a few minutes.
Not.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk about pruning. I got my pruning shears right here.
Oh.
But everything that God has for us is for our benefit and our good.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says, you know, who of you, when your son asks for a loaf of bread, wouldn't give it to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, And how much more does God want to give you good things to those that love him? So, a lot of, but in our culture, we find there's all these distractions. There's all these voices that are
yes.
clamoring for our attention.
Voices. That's the key word.
They're yeah. clamoring for your attention, and you can listen to any one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know the shepherd's voice,
yes.
you're going to listen to one of those, and
yes.
they're going to lead you astray.
Yes.
You know,
because he calls you by name. The false shepherds don't call you by name.
Yeah.
Because he pointed out the hireling doesn't care about the sheep. He's just a hired hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when the wolf comes, he's going to run away.
Yeah.
The false shepherds don't know your name. He knows your name. He knew your name before you were, long before you were conceived
yeah.
in the womb. And he knows the plans he has for you, as he
mm-hmm.
tells Jeremiah. And so, you know, he says, I give my life for my sheep.
Exactly.
I give my life for my sheep. This is unbelievable. And then he says, I have the power to give it up and take it up again.
Right.
And then the Pharisees hear this. They go, well, who can believe this stuff? He has a demon.
Mm-hmm.
How can he? What is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and they accuse him of having a demon. And it's a, you know, he's, of course, we know what he's talking about. He's the high priest and he's the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He's the offerer and the offering.
Right.
And we know about that. And this is the plan of salvation that was made before anything was created. He's the mediator between us and the Father, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the only mediator between God and man. And so no one could have taken his life against his will.
He yeah.
willingly gave his life for the sheep.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of when St. Maximilian Kolbe was in a German prison camp.
Yeah.
And he gave his life in exchange for one of the other people that were in the camp who had a family and children. And that man that, I forget his name, but that man went and testified to what Maximilian Kolbe did in that prison, in that German prison camp at Auschwitz
mm-hmm.
the rest of his life.
Yes.
Because he was indebted to that act of kindness and love. He was willing to lay down his life for somebody that he didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, does Jesus call each one of us to do that? In some degree, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In some degree, yes. We might not have the opportunity to do it like that, but we can, you know, we might have the opportunity to do it in small ways. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there are so many lies in our culture about who we are as children of God, because the devil doesn't want you to understand that. You know, there's all these barriers that have been placed that have put in place so that you can't communicate freely with people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk freely with people. Everything's put under a microscope. Everything's scrutinized.
Yeah.
And the, you know, every there's a lot of, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting at? And there is a lot of suspicion.
Yes.
And what does the devil want you to do? Tells you a little bit of a lie.
Yeah.
Gets you
kernel of truth in it.
Gets you divided.
Yes.
Makes you suspicious of the
yes.
other person.
Yeah.
Instant division. Good. That's
yeah.
exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
And as children of God, if we fall into that, then we are under the influence of the enemy.
Yes.
And we're not walking as children of light.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't bring the light, you know, to another person if it's covered under a bushel basket.
Yes.
So to speak.
And this is what he's talking about here, because when he's talking about leading the sheep know his voice, he's here to do good things for the sheep, then he gets this idea, like, I'm going to die for my sheep. This
yeah.
idea of, I'm going to die for my sheep willingly. I can put my life down and I can take it up again for my sheep.
Right.
Now, when we tell people that the only way through salvation is by what Jesus did on the cross, I mean, you're going to get any number of comments after making a statement like that. People
right.
rolling their eyes going, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about this and what about that and what about the other thing? And you're going to be met with all kinds of resistance. But here he makes it clear to these people who are the religious leaders what's going to happen. And just like in our time, you see there in verse 19, it says, there was a division among the Jews because of these words. So right away, there's a division. You know, there's always division, but here's this division. Oh, he's talking crazy. What do you mean to lay your life down and take it up again? He has a demon. The other side says, well, wait a minute. These are not the sayings of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We saw him do wonders. You know, we haven't seen demon-possessed people going around curing blind people. And demon-possessed people don't generally go around preaching, healing, talking about the kingdom. We don't think he has a demon.
Right.
And there's the division. We approach our society saying, here's the truth, capital T. Here's the true shepherd. He laid down his life for you, took it up again, because he's the only gate you can go through, the only door you can go through.
Yeah.
And the other side says, you're talking crazy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say you have a demon, but they would say you have to be either mentally ill or you're totally a bigot, narrow-minded, whatever. Because that can't possibly be true. And here, the people who had seen the, you know, the signs and wonders say, you know what? Demons don't go around doing this kind of stuff. So we believe this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, those who are saying, many of them said he is possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to him? It's easy to discredit somebody as they did. Jesus is the author of life. He's the word of truth. He is the word. He's the truth and he's the life. As he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And yet they don't know his voice. They can't hear his voice and they're not understanding what he's saying because it's hidden from them.
Exactly.
You know, and those who, you know, as you said, they see that he opened the eyes of the blind. He's healing people. And the ones who don't believe in him are saying, he's possessed.
Yes.
Yet he's setting people free.
Yes.
And they're saying he's possessed.
Yes, exactly.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
And I think this is why, I think this is happening today.
Oh, yeah.
This is happening. You know, here's the first century where you have religious leaders and the rest of the world is a bunch of pagans, and the people that were the apostles and disciples had to deal with both of these people. Mm-hmm. And here we are in the 21st century as believers. We're still dealing with the fact that we got a pagan world now that we have to teach in, and we got religious leaders that stand in the way because they've got entrenched interests at heart. Or they've come over to the, well, I don't know, you know, who are we to say? We don't want to be intolerant.
Yeah.
And so there you are, you know, as we always talk about the remnant, you know, if you're in the remnant of people, you have to stand for the truth.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, that's not your problem. Because as God told Ezekiel, you know, when you go tell somebody that they're doing wrong, if they listen to you and change their way, you've done good. But
exactly.
If you decide not to tell them, then you're an accomplice in it, and you're also going to be punished.
Yeah.
Because now we're to the point where even the churches are afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
I remember I wasn't even a believer, but I remember, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, there were prayer meetings in front of abortion clinics and, you know, churches would turn out for all kind of marches for life, not just the one in January in Washington, but all over the place.
Right.
You had Operation Rescue and people were being arrested because now you barely hear a whimper about abortion. Barely a whimper.
Yeah.
Because the churches have said, well, you know, what can we do? It's the law now.
Yeah. Yeah. They have succumbed to the rule of the world.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, Jesus's message is no different now than it was when he walked the earth.
Exactly.
He was countercultural.
Yes.
And a lot of times people think that they're following the group of, you know, what's the most popular thing. That doesn't mean that you're following truth.
That's right.
Far from it. Most times, far from
yes.
it. And the words, you know, the words that Jesus, that he speaks are truth. And so if we're following the ways of the world and we're succumbing to things that are not holy, downright evil, you have to step back and ask yourself, why am I following that voice? Why am I putting myself in this position or in this circumstance or situation where I'm following the designs of evil? And if you can't put yourself in that position, then, man, you're really lost.
Yeah.
You've really been led down a path where, I want to say there's no, God's mercy is great.
Yes.
Jesus says, you know, if someone sins or is as scarlet, mm-hmm. his blood washes them white as wool.
Yeah.
So if you're in a place where, and you're listening and you're questioning things and you don't understand any of this, ask the Lord to wash you in his precious blood
Amen.
And to cleanse you, because the light of the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and come into your life, and he will make you a new creation. Jesus is great at restoring things.
Yes.
Every time he walked into somebody, you know, every time he bumped into somebody that was dead, he resurrected them.
Yeah. And Paul says we're new creations.
And the power of the cross is beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Satan wants you to think that there's no power in it.
Yes, exactly.
Which is an utter lie.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says it's foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us it's the power of God to salvation.
Yeah.
Because Satan says to somebody, oh, now come on, does that make any sense to you? This was a guy who was killed 2,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
who's executed. What does that have to do with you? So you think, well, you know, what does that have to do with me? But, you know, when you don't have the faith to begin with, you're in a different position than if you're the religious leader.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, in Jeremiah 23, I think it is. I don't remember if it's 23 or 26. 23, I think it is. It's woe to the shepherds.
23, yeah.
Woe to the shepherds. Because the shepherds are the ones who are supposed to be leading the people.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who have been educated. They've been prepared. They've had formation. They are in a position where they're supposed to be teaching, leading, but they put the sheep in a position of danger. God says mm-hmm. woe to them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we can see now in a lot of churches, the leadership says, well, you know, we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do the other thing, because after all, you know, we want to be nice to everybody and we want to be tolerant.
Right.
Because the gospel's been hijacked.
Yeah. And we don't want any of this Holy Spirit nonsense.
We don't want any of that, because that kind yeah. of stuff ended in the first century.
Yeah.
And we don't want any of that craziness here.
Yeah.
And so, well, James, chapter 3, James says, you know, if you're a teacher, if you say you're a teacher, you're held to a higher standard.
Yes.
Because what you say influences people. And if you say, you know, if you're the leader of whatever church it is, and you have the authority there to teach, and you say, well, Jesus welcomed everyone, so therefore, you know, starting next week, we're going to start doing same-sex weddings, you know, on Saturday mornings at our church, then you have an issue now, because you were supposed to be a shepherd, but now you're turning the sheep away from what the truth, capital T, is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Jesus welcomed everybody, yes. But he defined marriage pretty clearly.
Yeah.
He defined divorce pretty clearly.
Yeah, he said it was out of the hardness of your heart that Moses
yes.
received a divorce decree.
Yes. And, you know, divorce has been long accepted now in the churches.
Yeah.
And now these other things that a few years ago would have been thought unbelievable are now becoming commonplace.
Yeah, it's rapid decay.
Is this the music?
It is.
Oh, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would open your heart to Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior, that he would bring you into his fold, take you out to pasture, and feed you, and be led by his Holy Spirit, which will lead you and guide you in all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.